My name is Don Walsh, and I'm one of two people that have visited the deepest place in the world ocean, a depth of 11,000 meters, a place where you could place Mount Everest in this great deep canyon in the seafloor, and there'd still be 4 kilometers of seawater above it. I'm a retired naval officer, and while I was in the U.S. Navy, I was appointed the first commander of the Bathyscaphe Trieste, a deep-diving submersible, manned submersible, developed by the father and son team of Auguste and Jacques Piccard in Italy in the early 1950s. And on the 23rd of January 1960, we made the dive to the deepest place in the world ocean. I was a pilot along with Jacques Piccard, and the dive took 9 hours. We started just after sunrise, proceeded on down very slowly because we had no way of knowing what the underwater topography was like. There weren't any good charts or maps of the very deep seafloor in the Marianas Trench, where the Challenger Deep is located. So we took 5.5 hours to go to the seafloor. We only spent a half hour on the seafloor, but just before we landed, we did see a high-order marine vertebrate. It was a type of flatfish, like a sole or a very small halibut, perhaps a foot long. But as soon as we landed, we stirred up this huge cloud of bottom sediment. Recall that we are completely independent of the surface. We're not attached to any cable. You often see press accounts and rather inaccurate histories written about ocean exploration where we were lowered to the seafloor. Well, we weren't lowered. We were flying down there in a free balloon, and our communication with the surface was the acoustic telephone, which didn't have any wires. So, anyway, we were getting out the camera and the film and calling topside to tell them we were on the bottom safely and checking everything out. Our past experience has been that cloud would float away after a few minutes because everywhere in the ocean there is a current of some sort. Maybe very subtle, but the cloud would drift away. Well, this didn't happen. It was like being in a bowl of milk. So we couldn't take any pictures. We didn't make any pictures on that dive. No visibility. And after about a half hour, we really had to get back up to the surface, and the trip up was about 3.5 hours. Of course, we didn't have to worry about bumping into underwater topography because you're going straight up, and so we could make a fairly fast trip to the surface. There were no physiological stresses on the body because the very thick hull of the cabin of the bathyscaphe keeps the interior at one atmosphere. It was cold. It was cramped. It was a bit wet because getting aboard this thing, it's so tiny that you get splashed a lot by waves and things, so you sort of climb down there soaked. So that kind of discomfort, but not the idea of getting bends like divers do or being exposed to high pressure, things of that sort. No, no pressure. In fact, our worst concern was we get up on top of the ocean and we'd be several miles from where we dove, because if you think of the ocean, each layer may have a different current component going in a different direction. So we didn't know, as we went down through this water column, 7 miles long, deep, whether we would be taken to the east or the west. And the Trieste, the bathyscaphe, is very small. It's like a log. The freeboard is maybe 2 or 3 feet sticking above the ocean, and we might be hard to see. Here we are 200 miles from land, and victorious, and no one to tell it to, as we drifted off to China or something. It turned out our support vessels were out on the horizon, so everybody saw everybody else right away. And it was a nice day's work. And what's remarkable to me is that a third of a century later, no man has ever been back to this place. One moment you're there, and the next moment you're gone. It's like dropping a pebble in a bucket of water. I mean, there's a few ripples, and that's it.